If you have your Bibles and want to turn there, we're working our way through Romans. It's been an amazing epistle that Paul, the apostle, wrote, the apostle to the Gentiles. We're in chapter 15. We read it earlier. Oh, I pray that as we're getting to the end of this letter, that you don't think, well, you know, the main part was the beginning, and so we just sort of tail off here. This is the Word of God. It's amazing. It's for us. And it's kind of important for us today. I've called this on labor, and not just because it's Labor Day weekend. Because of how Paul presents himself this morning and how we can learn what he's after from him. So this is what we went into. We ended last week with this verse, and it's an amazing verse. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. I just love that verse. I had to put it up again. Because it says to you and me, doesn't it, that God is the God of hope. And if I'm going to have hope, it's coming from Him. If I get joy, if I get peace, you say, man, I don't experience it. It's not that you're not choosing it. Oh, I've seen my fill of the Facebook memes that say, choose joy. It's God gives it. And I pray for it for you, that you might see the wonder of what Jesus Christ has done for you. He's paid it all. He's forgiven all of your sin. He's made you new. He will receive you into His heaven. Simply trusting Him. And we've heard this incredible, deep, wonderful message of Romans. And so this is Paul's prayer. We've bowed our hearts and our heads to the wonder that God is at work. He loves us, right? This is our God. We trust Him. And the freedom that that trust brings is that we can really be ourselves. I have lived most of my life trying desperately to be who I thought God wanted me to be instead of being me. I get this thing where, and it's not fake it till you make it. I would get that critique. But I have an ideal of what I think God expects of me, and I try to get there all the time. I try and put on the face so you see me a certain way. I try and manipulate a situation so you have a good opinion of me, so you might see how good I am, and therefore you might glorify God. That's how I thought. And so Paul's, over the last couple of chapters, been very precise and strong, saying, no, the strong are those who are free to actually trust that Jesus Christ is their goodness, that Jesus Christ is their righteousness, and to stand and say, you know, I'm free. I can actually be myself. Versus the weak are like, no, I need to make sure that I do this and this and this and this, and make sure I put out the right things, even though I don't desire them necessarily, but I'm going to do what God requires. What He has said is trust Jesus. So nowhere is that more in play than in our labor. Now think about that with me. Because by definition, labor is I'm working for something. I work for something. In our world, labor has a very specific intent, and it's you're working in order to get a paycheck or to get ahead or to get something that's yours. You're doing these other things, and that's how the world works, and it works well that way. This is the law. It's good. Don't get me wrong. We honor those who work hard. How does that play out in the kingdom of God, though? Right? Well, what usually happens is I have this sense of either, I sense, well, I want to count for God. I want to do for God. I want God to be happy with me. So I start to get back on a ladder of, or maybe I'm driven a little bit by, I don't feel like I'm very valuable, or I don't feel like I'm very used. My life seems little. So what I start to do is to transfer over to say, what can I do to have more value? What can I do to make my life count? And we're driven a little bit by well-meaning Christians. They win the Olympic gold medal and they say, it was super hard work and I worked so hard for this, but I give all the glory to God. What's the idea? If you work really hard, that's valuable stuff, and then you can, versus the second place guy, or the 12th place guy, or the 100th place person, that there's something that you can do to give more value to God than trusting Jesus. So I'm there. I'm trying to figure out how to work efficiently and rightly and show that I'm valuable. I want my life to count. I want to see myself used. I'll buy into being sort of prepared and on the bench, but I'm waiting for my turn to be in the game. Impact the world. And so what I tend to do is to take Paul's words here, which is indicative of a couple places Paul talks about his work, and try and emulate Paul. I'm the understudy. My labor is to get myself ready. I'll sit on the bench. I'll be part of the team, but for a purpose, to get my few minutes of important effort. Okay. I've played this up and taken a couple minutes. I want to dive into the text. But you need to see that this idea, right, is counter to another idea that is what? You're already part of something incredible. You are seeing God work. He's working now. And you can be amazingly engaged in what he's done already. And they're not, that to me sound like, well, that sounds like there's some overlap there, Doc. No, actually, it's quite a different way to think. So I want to go through this with you and to see that your labor is never in vain. And actually, God's using you in ways you don't even expect. Okay. So he starts, Paul does, and he's going to use language all the way through that should surprise you. I want you to use his language. I want you to realize you're not him. But be surprised by how he presents this whole issue. The first is convinced. It's like he's got his feet kicked back and he said, I know this. Look what he says in verse 14 of chapter 15. Here we go. So he says, I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge and able to instruct one another. That's a normal start. You say, yeah, okay, I get it. He's saying, what exactly is he saying? Well, he's saying the gospel's true, right? And we're new. But that word satisfied is actually convinced. Like, I know in my heart. He knows something. What? That you, and he's talking to Christians, brothers, he says, are full of goodness. How does he know? There's every indication that he does know some of these people and he doesn't know a lot of them. How does he know? I mean, the gospel's true and we are new and we put on what we think we ought to. I ought to be kind. So instead of being kind because I am kind, I act how I think I should be. And so has he seen that? Has he seen some acts of kindness? Of goodness? I think he's actually making a theological statement about what he said, right? Paul says, I'm convinced. That's the word. It's not satisfied like he's examined them. Convinced that they're full of goodness. How would that be? It's not because he's got their works listed in front of him. It's because he's convinced that the gospel is true. What's the gospel again? Jesus Christ forgave all my sins. Yeah, but not just the forgiveness piece. Jesus Christ gave me his goodness. That's what I trust. If you have Christ in you, then you have goodness in you, right? By definition. I mean, this is what our theology is. This is what the gospel proclaims. You can believe it or not believe it, but the reality is you are good because of Jesus. He knows Christ has them. The gospel is true. He's not looking at their theological degree or the years they've spent on the mission field or anything like that. He's looking at the team shirt they have on. Oh, you guys are fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. I know if you are that, then you're full of goodness and that you are filled with all knowledge. What's that? Of the gospel? Of the declaration of Jesus Christ for you? Jesus died for you and it worked, you guys. And you're able to help each other. The word instruct there is kind of like warn, like watch out, don't go back. So So often you think, well, the knowledge we need is knowledge about virtue and how to be a good parent and how to influence your friends and neighbors. That's not what he means at all. I'm reminded of this quote by Rich Mullins. Rich Mullins is a singer and he died early, but I like his music. And he said this. He said, I've attended church regularly since I was less than a week old. I don't think that counts. Less than a week old. Anyway, whatever. This is what he said. I've listened to sermons about virtue, sermons against vice. I've heard about money, time management, tithing, abstinence, and generosity. I've listened to thousands of sermons, but I could count on one hand the number of sermons that were simply a proclamation of the gospel of Christ. Here's what I totally trust of you. You're full of all goodness, and you have the knowledge and ability to proclaim the trust that you have. Jesus Christ has done it, and it worked. That's what Paul's after. Give the gospel. Jesus died for me. I'm forgiven anew by him alone. And I am convinced, Paul says, satisfied as he looks at his brothers. He's just been through Romans and given them the most beautiful picture of the wonder of the gospel that exists anywhere. Because of the Holy Spirit, I know you're going to be fine. You are full of goodness. Done. And then he says, but let me go ahead a little. But on some points, I've written to you very boldly by way of reminder. Now, I know you know this, he says. He's speaking to people who are Christians, and he's focusing them on the gospel. Right? That's kind of interesting. It's like, you know what I did? Actually, the first 8 chapters of Romans, I was just giving you reminders of something you already know. If you're with me, that ought to be a little surprising, because I think, no, the Romans road, right? We want to use Romans to give to people who don't know Jesus. I want to tell them about how to believe in Jesus. And instead, Paul's saying, you know, really what I've been doing is writing you a reminder of the truth to believers. We need this kind of reminder. It's so amazing, the news is, you guys. And if we're going to have joy in this, if we're going to have hope in this, if we're going to have peace in this, which we have by the power of God in our hearts, then it's okay to be proud about it, says Paul. I'm not sure what I think about that, this proud thing. So walk with me. This is quite interesting. On some points, I've written to you very boldly by way of reminder, because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. I know you, because you're like me. I read passages like this. I said, okay, great. Praise Jesus. Let's keep going. Because it kind of bundles together in my mind. I don't see, wait a minute, there's something really amazing being said by Paul here. Paul has grace given to him by God, he says. Special grace. He's not saying, be like me. He's saying, the grace given by me. Just like God will give you grace, and God will give you grace, and God will give you grace. There's grace given to me, he says, and mine was to be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel. Paul's not saying he's dressed up in robes and waving a whatever they wave and shaking, you know, water on people. He's saying he's mediating God, explaining God, presenting these pagans to God between them so that they're sanctified, they're holy, they're set apart. Who is he talking about? He's talking about you, right? He said, I speak gospel to you. And he said, I bring in the arms of God to you, dear people, forgiveness and righteousness and salvation to you, nobodies. This is the priestly service of my ministry, says Paul. Jesus died for you and it worked. There is nothing you've done. There is nothing you'll do. You'll receive this gift. That's what I'm doing, because that's the grace God gave me, says Paul. Sure glad he did. Look at what God's done. I'm so proud of what God has done through me. And you say, well, I would be proud too if I could see something God done through me. No, he's talking about the team. It's not like a basketball team. This is not like there's guys on the bench and there's the star. I was watching a little snippet of the WNBA last night, and there's Caitlin Clark, and she's like at half court making shots. Like, I'll never do that. I could be sitting on the basketball court going, man, I hope someday I can make those shots. You say, well, just practice, and then, no amount of practice will make me be able to do what that person can do. And so there's a, well, you can do what you can do. Yeah, sit on the bench is what I could do. Well, I want to be used. No, he's saying, wait a minute. No, this is much more like, have you ever played team tag? Like one person said, as they tag somebody and they're on their team. And they tag somebody else and they're on their team. And then you tag somebody else and pretty soon you got a whole team. And it's not about how well you tag. It's about whose team you're on. Paul's like, I'm so amazed and proud that God has done this through me. He's brought you in. That's what he's amazed at. The gospel is God loved you and me when we were sinners. The gospel is not by works that we have done. It is his work for me. And Paul says, I get to proclaim that. And you know what? I'm not falsely humble. I'm free. I can say what the truth is. I'm so proud of this. I'm so stoked at this. I'm not going to try and show you. You should listen by my great presentation of my humble quietness. My amazing strength. I'm proud that this is the message. What? What's the message again? In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God. You aren't allowed to be proud. You should be humble. Pride goes before a fall. That's what we try and do, right? We try and make the message about us being something that's unreal. Paul is stoked he's gotten to share this incredible good news with people who don't deserve it. He's so proud of what God has done. And God used Paul particularly. He did. He didn't deserve it. He knows he doesn't deserve it. He calls himself the chief of sinners. He knows he murdered Christians before he came to Christ. He knows he's imperfect and wrong. He doesn't then downplay his stokage. He's himself. This is the best thing ever, you guys. The Gentiles have gotten to come in. Come back to him. Well, you know, you don't have a reason to be proud. It's all Jesus. Yeah, but I love that I got to do it. You're asking the question, but you're the person I'm proud of. You get Jesus. My dad got to build hundreds of churches in Africa. He was stoked. You think Billy Graham is proud? He got to be the mouth that brought thousands of people to knowing Jesus? I do. I think he was stoked. Our problem is that we start to say, well, where's my work to do? How do I get to be Billy Graham? When do I get to be Paul? And that's not what Paul is saying at all. He's not saying, follow my example and be a missionary to the Gentiles. No. Paul says, that's what I did. God has done this, and it's huge. What does this have to do with the gospel alone? With our struggle? Okay, here. Jesus died for you, right? And it worked. You get to be yourself. You have the Holy Spirit. So be yourself. You're part of this hugeness that God has done. We are proud of what? What God has done. You're one of the Gentiles that Paul is proud that God came and saved. He's proud of you in Christ. You don't try and be Paul. You get excited. You get to share anything about this great Jesus if you do. If you don't get to, you get to enjoy this great Jesus. Or if you can't enjoy, you get to know this great Jesus. It is not about maximizing. It's about what's been done. This is Paul's message for us, for you, because his whole life is oriented sort of on taking this message of the gospel to people who have no reason to belong, and then you belong. And that's incredible. And he says, you know, honestly, I'm so proud of this. In my flesh, I go there. I go, okay, how can I get to where I'm proud of what I do? How can I move the pieces around so that when I get to heaven, I say, look, God, I'm so proud of what I did for you. Except that's not what Paul's saying at all. Paul's saying, look what God has done through me. And I didn't even, God gave the grace for me to do this, a very special role that's not repeatable, because he brought the news to people that never knew him and had never known it even was a part of this. So, well, I'm going to find some island somewhere where no one's heard of Jesus. I'll go there and I'll be Paul. That's not what he's talking about. Look, he says, I've got ambition. There's about ambition. So these are three amazing words. I'm convinced, and they're not even very good necessarily in the world of the eye, but he's convinced. And then he has pride. He says, I'm proud of this, what God has done. And now he says, I'm ambitious. Who is this Paul? Is he really a Christian? But he says this, look, he says, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience. This is what I care about, says Paul. This is the message. This is what validates the message. What's the message? You know it, right? I trust that you have all goodness and knowledge and are able to instruct around this, that you are forgiven and made new simply by trusting Jesus. Outcasts are fully brought in, not by renouncing their outcast ways, but by turning from self-righteousness to Jesus. That's what he's speaking of. Even the doing out of Jesus, what Jesus has accomplished through me, which is to what? To bring the Gentiles to obedience. That's the obedience of faith. Faith. God does it in so many ways, says Paul. What do you mean, so many ways? By word and deed. That's by what he says and what he does. By the power of signs and wonders. That's supernaturally, as God has done things through Paul. By the power of the Spirit of God, that the actual Holy Spirit being working on people directly, and they spout out. So that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. He's talking about his missionary journey, right? Of going through and telling people that had never heard of Jesus about Jesus. I've been about this one message, says Paul. I've fulfilled the ministry of the gospel, and that's so amazing and cool. And he testifies that God has done it, like God giving Israel the whole land. He says, it's fulfilled. I have fulfilled it. This is really big. Everybody that says, I'm going to go be like Paul. Paul did what God told him to do. And it's done. He says, so amazing. I got to do this. You guys, I'm so proud of what God has done. And what he's really talking about is you, because you sitting here today is a downstream effect of the ministry of Paul going to the Gentiles and proclaiming to people that had no clue whatsoever that the only hope they have is what Jesus Christ did on a cross, and they open their eyes to it, and then they live their lives free and talk about the wonder of what the truth is, and pretty soon 20 generations go by and you're being born. We're part of this. That's what he's saying. He's not asking you to do it. He says, look, God has done by what Paul's said and what he's done by supernatural means and ultimately by the Holy Spirit. The issue is not be like Paul. The issue is it includes you, the fruit of God's work. I'm proud of this, says Paul. He could say, ah, shucks, you guys. I'm nobody. I'm a piece of dirt. I barely get to do anything. No, he's not. No, he's not. Look what God gave special grace to this person, to him. I don't have to try and be like him. I don't have to be jealous of him. I don't have to try and be like, oh, well, I wish I had that too. No, no, no. God actually did something amazing, and I'm a part of it. I'm on his team. His personal role was to declare this to the Gentiles, and he did it, and he saw the Spirit move. So what he's doing is he's affirming that the power of the gospel is real. This freedom that I live in, the declaration that you and I make, the ways that we say, you know, Jesus paid for it and it worked, even though my life still is a struggle, even though the world still is against me, even though it doesn't look like I'm free, you know what? I know it's true. And why do I know it? One of the reasons is I see what happened with Paul. We're sitting here believing. And that's the ambition that he has. Thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. I don't want to go where anywhere else has gone, said Paul. That was my ambition. I wanted to declare Christ where Christ had not been declared. I wanted to set a foundation that was rock solid because I declare Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But Christ, the power of God. He's not saying it's your ambition. He's saying it was his and that he can be who he is. He can have that ambition because his ambition that God gave him, we are part of the story. That's where we fit in. This is critical. Paul's being himself. It's who he is. And being himself is making us part of the family, a family we never deserved to be in, a family that we are simply placed in and hearing this amazing good news that it was his ambition because of the grace of God to speak out. Say, well, then other people won't know God unless I speak out. What? You're missing the point. Sure, speak out. Go for it. But don't think you're missing the wonder of what this is by making it about you being the doer. You're the fruit. This is so critical. All of our striving and clawing to act like we're really trying to do good are filthy. But God clothes us in his fine linen because he's actually given us life. And our life has always been in his Son. And the mark of freedom is you get to be you. And you look at the gift of grace that God gave Paul. He understood this. He'd been given something so that you have assurance that it's real. I mean, it's why does he need to go where no one else has been? Because he had a special calling to what? Well, to go not where Christ had already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. He's quoting the Old Testament. So what he's saying is, I'm fulfilling this giving of God's prophetic word in the Old Testament. He gave me this grace to fulfill this. And I'm so proud that God's promises came true. You say, well, that's really nice, Dax, but you know God's promises. You know, there's a lot of them in the Bible. Yeah, well, you know this one. You know where this is from? You say, yeah, I know where that's from. I know where every scripture. No. So I never know. So, okay, everyone's looking in their margin. You're looking for a little B or a little A. Say, okay, and then you go down to the cross. Oh, here's where it's from. Come with me to Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52, 53. I do know that one. Yeah, you do. We like read it every single Christmas. We read it every year because this scripture is so important, because this is so amazing. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. And many were astonished at you. His appearance was so marred beyond human semblance. His form beyond that the children of mankind. So he shall sprinkle many nations. This is, oh my goodness, this is like Isaiah 52, like Jesus who is so ugly and so marred and so beaten down. This Jesus. And then he says this. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him, Jesus. For that which has not been told them, they see. And they which have not heard, they understand. The very center, the very single message that Jesus Christ has come. And then people that don't hear it will see and understand. Paul's saying that. He's not one little sliver. He is the culmination of the promise of God to the nations. And keep going. And the next verse says, who has believed what he's heard from us? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? for he grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. As one whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. It's small, but you can read it. Surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and by his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way, and Yahweh has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This isn't some like random prophecy that he pulled from the middle of nowhere. This is the very center of our faith. That Jesus Christ came, prophesied by Isaiah hundreds of years before. That the iniquity of all of us would fall on him. That he would be stricken, that he would die for you and me. That the message he has is that people that had no idea of this will come to understand. And Paul says, you look at my ministry. You look back at what was happening here. You look at yourselves in the mirror. God's word is true. Why? Because you believe. You're not part of Israel. You're not part of God's chosen people from the Old Testament. You don't have the laws and the prophets that you've studied since you were little. You can't even find your way around Ezekiel. And I'm so proud of you. Because you get Jesus. And you're filled with all goodness. And the kindness that you need. The knowledge that you have. The ability to warn that it's only Jesus and you don't let anything else in. And this is the incredible truth of where the rubber meets the road today. Because Paul's talking about his labor. And his labor, he is so proud of. Because it is a testimony to you and me of the faithfulness of God. It is not about today, hey, can we emulate Paul? Except what? That I also, when I see God do something in me that's amazing, it's okay for me to say, I'm so proud of what God's doing. I'm excited about that. But he's modeling this. One is that the message is really everything. He's testifying to the work of the Spirit that's confirming the wonder of the gospel. Not the attainment of God and achievement of golds and silvers. No, the attainment of God and saving people with the incredible message of Jesus. Look what God does. Those who have no place in God's kingdom, those who are self-righteous and idolaters and wrong, they're in, not suddenly to be better, but to trust that Jesus paid it all. And so you're forgiven, can you hear? You are new and alive and righteous in Christ. You understand. And Paul, secondly, Paul, he's himself. He shares what he's proud of, what he's ambitious for. He doesn't hide behind religious language or masks of false humility. It's such our problem today. We're so like, let's put the wall and the mask right so people try and see the right thing in me and therefore they'll glorify God. Instead, you're free. And the wonder is that as you live and you work in your life and you do the life that you have and you are good and you are righteous and you are knowledgeable about the gospel because you are. That's where the Spirit's working. So welcome to the family, and you get to be who you are. As long as you know, receive, that Jesus really did die for you, really does love you, he's prepared a place for you, he died for you and it worked, your life is new because he says so. So would you with me fight the compliance pressure, the perception stress, the judgment of your own flesh and others' eyes, and be yourself because Jesus loves you forever. Paul is so proud of you. Because forgiveness is where it's at. And the love of Christ for you is what it is. And so be proud of me of what Paul did too. Because what he did was proclaim this incredible truth that you and I are forgiven forever. And by such he declares, the word of God never fails. Our Savior's done it. I don't know if I need an amen or an hallelujah. So whichever we want to give, give it. Ready? One, two, three.
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for what you've done for us. Lord, we are amazed and thankful at what you did through Paul. The wonder of salvation to us nobodies, that you value us, that we have an identity, that we get to stand, not because of our goodness, but because of yours. We receive that, Lord. We hold on to it with all that we are. Help us to find our rest, our peace, our joy, our hope in your Son Jesus today. Lord, thank you for the labor that Paul got to do. It's in Jesus' name we pray.